Talk Show.
Recorded live.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and hail him, Lord God of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call, hail him who saved you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and hail him, Lord God of all. Let every Aryan of every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe, and hail him, Lord God of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and hail him, Lord God of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all. We'll join the everlasting song and hail him, Lord God of all.
Greetings, found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. This is the 1st of July, 2015, episode of Understanding Dual Seed Line Israel Identity. I'm trying to get away from the CI dentist because essentially your identity is racial, not supposedly religious. There's, 300 some thousand denominations or something like that of Christianity, and they're all pretty well saying something totally different. And with CI dentistry, you end up having quite a few, critters who, like Fink and Emma Hives and the rest here who have played a game. Last night, I decided to get back to the Comparean roots of this show at least once per night. Now, what I had done is I had started a show for the 1st of July because, well, I just didn't get to the Tor browser in time. So then I did another show around 9:30 or 10 o'clock my time, which was an hour earlier Eastern time. It's around 11 o'clock Eastern. It's a little bit after 10 o'clock Central time in which I am speaking. Folks, I do not pretty well put up with the same crap that I put up on the Movement Turd. Guest number 7, guest number 10. This show is more serious. Anyway, you've had, in what I call CI dentistry, or I've been calling CI dentistry, you have a number of Jews and mongrels and papist preterists and no-devil clowns come in claiming to be Christian identity. And Christian identity, all it insists is that you say that, Western and Northern Europeans are the, quote, lost tribes of the House of Israel. Actually, all 13 tribes. And as a result, you end up having all sorts of characters who are Jews and mongrels claiming they're Israelites, and they're not. You know, the show their countenance does testify against them. And what I've seen is, it seems to me that I'm really about the only Comparian really left here. You have all these Mongols coming in, and they're not supposed to be in. Dan Johns, he was yapping something. I didn't really pay attention tonight. I was sort of busy. And I've decided to get back to the Comparian roots of Christian identity. Pretty well, last night somebody, a comrade who didn't much care for the way that Rabbi Fink and all these other characters are trying to sneak in on the coattails of Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé when they hate Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé. And the biggest hater of Bertrand Comparé is the Sicilian Guido Marino Jew boy named Clifton Emheiser, who snuck in as a Comparean scholar using the papers that Comparean secretary Jeannie Snyder and Lorraine Swift had brought in, helped bring in this nigger-nosed Jew like Bill Fink. And these critters come in and they hate the foundations of Israel identity. Now, I came into it from the British Israelite roots of the Herbert Armstrong Worldwide Church of God. Herbert Armstrong really brought in the British Israel message, which he plagiarized. He plagiarized everything. And some of the plagiarisms were good. Some of the plagiarisms are not so good. There's this Jew named Heinz who said that the Assyrians were the Germans. Now, folks, one of the little games that a bunch of tards like to play in CI dentistry is they like ignoring the fact that our Israelite ancestors, and this is the ones who are Israelites, like Morris Gallet, although he's a drunken crackhead and a Zogbot, Southern Poverty Law Center's Aryan Nations, official Aryan Nations faction here. Well, most of these characters are Mongols, but they want to pretend that since Israel was cursed with losing its identity, that they know exactly what tribe they are. Which is nonsense. Now, I believe Bertrand Comparé was the best scholar, and there is no second. I knew someone who was a neo-Comparé, and Willie Martin, and I liked Willie. But I have essentially noticed that you have critters like this, you know, Sicilian Guido Marino Jew boy, who's a papist preterist, and who has really no problem with no deviltry. Captain Sanoti Emheiser comes in, and he does the Canaanite bait and switch he likes bitching about, same way with Bill Fink. They claim to be one of us, and then it is to the Marino papist preterists. That's what the Jesuits did. The ones who decided to, quote, convert. And they got into the Roman Catholic Church, and the Spanish Inquisition was designed to weed them out. And they caused trouble in the Netherlands, which was a Spanish possession. And I don't really mind that the Netherlands did cause trouble, but hey, they stirred up trouble. And the Spaniards, you know, pretty well lost their best infantry, you know, getting in stupid wars. They blew the gold and silver of the New World, and they blew, more importantly, the lives of their sons away in pointless wars trying to keep their empire together. Now, with 150 years, they were pretty well finished as a major power. Even though they had plenty of wealth. It was until the early 1800s that they lost their empire. Mexico in 1821, I believe. After the Napoleonic era. Many ways, here these creatures were. And when they snuck their way in, they got around the Spanish Inquisition by becoming Jesuits. And they made up this doctrine called preterism. It was a lie that they told, tried to get the Protestants to come back after the Reformation, tell them they'd rebelled against God's kingdom on earth. And that's what this Sephardic Jew, Eli James or Joseph November or Joseph Cutts or Putz or Goldstein or whatever, says. And that's the same thing that Bale Fink says. And you have these creatures who are obvious mongrels. And what they have is that they have the compere and they grab whatever they can and they glom onto it. But what they're doing is they're trying to pervert it. And Fink's an obvious papist preterist, and now he's a no-devil. Along with Meerkat Mark Downey. What? He's about, what, 10, 15 years older than I am. He was a Zog Klansman. He ran off the Jewess. He ran off the Jewess, sexual mascot of the Wise State Klan, and then he ordained himself after Larry Blanchard ran off, and now he's a no-devil. He don't believe in Satan. Here's Fink. Clifton Emmeheiser brought him in. Now, Clifton Emmeheiser is not regarded as a scholar. So then the question is what does someone like myself do about it? And the answer is, I've decided for the understanding dual seed line Christian identity is that we go through the very basics of dual seed line Israel identity. Now, Dewey Tucker, I mean, I really like and respect Dewey, but I do not agree with the reincarnation, the no free will bit, which is a major thing. But I do like Dewey. He knows a good deal, although I do not agree with his simplifications, because at the very end, if you do not have free will, you're just simply nothing more than a lab rat or an automaton. And if Dewey's right, then hey, there's nothing, you know, you're either damned, you know, you're either Elohim or you're not, you're damned, you know, one way or the other. But some character was running around this camel dot red thing here, and the idiot was yapping about Adam was sent, the beasts of field weren't the six-day beasts of field, they were the empires. Well, guess what? It's like saying Julius Caesar was bred to take care of the British Empire. There was no empires until Cain Sargon created one, and he set up in the land of Shinar, in the land of the Blackheads, in the land of Sumerians. He took over the son of Akkad, you know, Akkad, a.k.a. the son of Satan. He set up the very first Akkadian Empire. So, Cain was of the wicked one, and he said, you know, he admitted he was the son of the gardener, and the mother of, his mother was, well, essentially the original woman. And what he did is that he conquered these black kids, and he set up the first city, the first organized city, and called it after his son. And I mean, it's pretty well believed that that son is called Ancient Erech. It's known now as Erbil in Mesopotamia. But he also helped set up a number of other cities. But he was the first emperor. So Adam was not, you know, like this camel red nitwit says. I mean, he sounds just like Russ Walker with his silliness. Now, I had set this show to be a little bit early because I thought that Russ Walker would be in, but no, Russ Walker is running around in Western North Carolina with his wife. He got money or something like that. I don't know where he gets the money or something. He's doing one of his vacations to avoid the heat, which is fine. It's sort of a break here from his Bethlehem, Zebulon and apostolic nonsense and all this other crap. Although in Western Tennessee, hopefully it'll be bothering Papa Cat. That would be nice. But okay, Codney, you are getting on the line. All right. Okay. Codney is the same as some other character here. You need to behave yourself. What I've decided to do is I've decided to join this workbook called the Complete Compare PDF, and it's of 389 pages. It has a number of sermons. Now, I played a bunch of Compare sermons, but one comrade put these things up on the Library of Congress. So you don't have to go over to Mike Callamore's, and you certainly don't have to go over Finkelschini's or Jerry L. Mosley's or any place else. You can go to the Library of Congress, and I will look for the links and I'll put them up. But last night I played Bertrand Comparé on the first part of the workbook. I played the very first one called Who Is Your God? And then it has on his Complete Comparé in PDF form, Who Is Your Savior? And that's what I'm going to play tonight. Now, folks, this thing, like I noticed about 2 years ago, has not been transcribed accurately. It's been transcribed sort of accurately. Somebody has mistranscribed it, and for years, it's been done that way. Now, I'm hoping, as I get more time, to maybe retranscribe or use Dragon Naturally Speaking or whatever to get the transcriptions put in better shape. But folks, what you do is that Bertrand Comparé, he would read, unlike Wesley Swift, who, for my Garrett, never wrote anything down. He would read his sermons. Now maybe the transcription was what he wrote down. I don't know. But there is a good deal of difference. Well, it's more like about 5 to 10% difference. And some of these things are, fairly major differences between what he said and what was transcribed. So tonight I downloaded something here, and essentially I played it to Who Is Your God, and I went through the workbook. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to re-engineer these shows and play it. Now, when I start playing tonight's podcast with Bertrand Comparé after about a 3 or 4 or 5 minute break, what I will want to do is I'll ask you how well you can hear what Bertrand is saying. But in any case, what's going to happen is I'm going to re-engineer the show. So if you want the raw footage here, download it tonight. But what I'll do is I'll come back and re-engineer it. That's what I've been doing with the Movement Turret. But folks, what I find important is getting back to the basics of dual seed line Israel identity. The basics. Now, a few of the things. My Bertrand Comparé's worrisome about Bolshevik Russia or Communist Russia is dated. The worst communist or the worst Jews we had was in the United States. The Russians, they had a bunch of Jews on their backs. And the Jews ran that system into the ground and really hurt the Russian people. But I'm not worried about them. They, you know, the Russian people are a good deal Slavs mixed up with a bunch of Tartars and Mongols. So I don't worry about them too much. Those of our people who remained behind in the East were overwhelmed and bred out millennia ago. And what Yahweh has done is he has saved two seed lines. The good seed line of Adam, through to Seth, through to Noah, through to Shem, through to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, which is us. And the evil seed line from Satan, his seduction of Eve, through to Cain, and through to Canaan, who married, you know, to Ham, who married. Ham was not, was a son of Noah. He was a perfect generation as well, but he was a stupid wigger, who married this Tubal-Cainite-ish, well, skank named Naama, who gave birth to Canaan. So you're from Cain through the various evil patriarchs, you know, through to Lamech, through to Naama, through to Canaan, through to the various, you would call them Jews, but they were Canaanites, you know, the Phoenician Canaanites, through Sidon. You know, the blonde, blue-eyed, cute Leslie Stahl-looking Canaanites, who were the Amorites, who were, you know, who were dangerous, and the Amalekites, and through to these Hittites, who became Khazars. In the case of Eli James, he is a Canaanite, you know, Sephardic Canaanite of some sort. In the case of Rabbi Baal Fink, he is a Hittite, you know, Hivite Hittite Khazar. And on a show of his about a month ago, he, you know, he claimed he was better than Eli James, who's a Sephardic Jew, because he's a Khazar. He's an Ashkenazi Jew. He didn't say he was a Jew, but essentially he was, you know, a white Ashkenazi or Khazar or whatever, who are still Jews from the Hittites. Canaan had a number of children. Most of them were, well, slaughtered out like the Amorites, but they still exist in some form. The Phoenicians, who were, sell to you, buy wholesale, sell retail, the mercantile Jews, and the Hittites, who became Khazars. So, in case, that's what you have within Seed dynasty. And the way to fight that is to get back to the basics insofar as possible. It requires a little bit more work. But on the other hand, I have the workbook, and I do have the recordings. So I'd like to thank whatever comrade put them up on the Library of Congress archive. So anyway, I'm going to take about a 3 or 4 or 5 minute break, and then I'm going to start playing tonight's Comparé sermon called Who is Your Savior? I will put up the PDF file. I'll put up the PDF file. And then probably what I'll do is I'll load up whatever is up there later on, and then I'll re-engineer the show. So we're going to have about 3 or 4 minute break, and we will be back. Hail victory.
How excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is thy name. Who hast thy glory far advanced above the starry frame. From mouths of babes and infants, Lord, strength by thee is ordained. So that thy enemies be crushed, thy vengeful foes restrained. When I look up unto the heavens, which thine own fingers framed, unto the moon and to the stars, which were by thee ordained, then say I, what is man that thou should be mindful of him? Or what the son of man that thou so kind to him should be? For thou hast made him little less than the angels above, with glory and with dignity, with honor crowned his head. Appointed Lord of all thy works, all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and beasts that in the field do stray.
For tonight's Understanding Dual Seed Line, we are having Bertrand Comparé's recording of Who is Your Savior?
This is Bertrand L. Comparé, and I want to talk to you on the subject, Who is Your Savior? All Christian denominations agree that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and indeed the scriptural authority for this is very clear. 2 Peter 1 verse 11, 2 verse 20, and 3 verse 18 speaks of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And 1 John 4 verse 14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. They also agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and again upon good authority. Mark 1 verse 1 reads, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 1 verse 34 says, and I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. And Matthew 3 verse 17 tells us, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At least some of the churches also recognize that he is our Redeemer, although they haven't any very clear idea of what redemption is. And this also is on scriptural authority, for Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And finally, some of them take note that Jesus Christ is the Word, a phrase used only by the Apostle John, who says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Having agreed on these descriptive titles, the area of disagreement begins when the churches have to answer the questions, Who was he, and what was he? They all agree that he is in some way connected with the Godhead. But through the centuries, there's been bitter and sometimes murderous disagreement as to the exact nature or degree of his divinity. Such disagreements spring from lack of knowledge of the Scriptures, substituting man's doctrines for the Word of God. Let's look a little deeper into this. Have we one God or three? Under the Old Testament, the theologians were familiar with one God. And because the records, the manuscripts of the Scriptures, had been fraudulently forged by the priests and scribes, as I explained in my talk, Who is Your God?, they called that one God Lord. But now they were told that Jesus Christ was also Lord, so some decided there must be two Lords. Also, the Holy Spirit, wrongly translated Holy Ghost in the King James Version, is spoken of in the New Testament as greatly exalted. So, maybe they'd better not offend him by assigning him any lower position. Therefore, many began arguing that we had a trinity of gods. Since this so obviously led right back into pagan polytheism, they had to develop another dogma to meet this problem, that the three gods, between them, constituted but one God. None of them understood how this could be, so they said it was a great mystery. And to them, it surely was. Perhaps it might be similar to the way the many thousands of stockholders in Standard Oil Company make but one corporation out of them all. By the 4th century A.D., the controversy between the Trinitarians and the believers in one God, which latter were led by Arius, became so bitter that the Emperor Constantine called the Council of Nicaea in A.D. 325 and commanded the divided church to settle its controversy. At this council, the Trinitarians outnumbered the Arians. So, on a numerical vote basis alone, the doctrine of the Trinity was adopted. Perhaps some of you are thinking of 1 John 5, verse 7, reading, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." This verse is a forgery, added many centuries after John had written his epistles. None of the early Christian writers quote this verse. It was not cited as authority for the Trinitarian position at the Council of Nice, where surely they would have triumphantly read it if it had been in existence at that time. The first mention of it appears in the 6th century A.D., apparently just written in the margin as a comment in some Latin copies. Not one Greek manuscript earlier than the 16th century contains it. Bible scholars are practically unanimous in their agreement that it is a forgery. Accordingly, it is omitted from most of the modern English translations, such as the English Revised Version, the American Revised Version, Moffat, Ferrer Fenton, Smith and Goodspeed, Weymouth, Rotherham, the New World Translation, Panin's Numerical Translation, and so forth. How do we answer this question? Are there three gods or only one? Only from the Bible, not from church hierarchies, can we hope to get the true answer. Naturally, we find it first in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Lord." And, as always, this is confirmed in the New Testament, for Jesus Christ himself, in Mark 12, verse 29, said that this was the first of the commandments. Now, that doesn't look much like a trinity, does it? But let's look further into this. According to the Trinitarians, Jesus Christ, being the Son, is just one out of three gods. But what does the Bible say about him? Remember now, all the churches agree that Jesus Christ is the Savior. So let's find out who the Savior is. We find it first in Isaiah 49, verse 26. "All flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." So God himself is our Savior. But there is much more. Isaiah 43, verses 10 and 11. Ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Well, God's Bible is always consistent, so we find in Hosea 13, verse 4, Yet I am Yahweh thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Old Testament? Certainly. But listen to the New. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1 begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of, now note this, the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Again, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3, Paul says, For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. But Paul is not the only one who says this. Jude, verse 25, says, To the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So, we see that God is our Savior, and he says, Beside me there is no Savior. Therefore, since the churches agree that Jesus Christ is our Savior, he must be God himself. And this should not surprise anyone. Isaiah 7, verse 14 prophesied it. Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it is made unmistakably clear. For unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, the churches also agree that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. But who is the Redeemer? Isaiah 43, verse 14, speaks of Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Again, in Isaiah 44, verse 6, Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And Isaiah 48, verse 17, Thus saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yahweh thy God. So, again we see that Jesus Christ must necessarily be God himself, for it is God who is our Redeemer. Then the Apostle John calls Jesus the Word. And who is the Word? John 1, verses 1 and 3 tells us, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So, the Word was the Creator, God himself. Jesus Christ himself confirms this. In John 8, verse 19, he says, If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. In John 10, verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. In John 12, verse 45, he says, He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And in John 14, verses 6 to 9, we read, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So, this leaves us but one remaining question. Is Jesus the only God, or just the Son of God, or just one God out of three? Never turn to the churchmen for the answer. Why should you add their confusion to your own? You can get the answer only from the Bible, the Word of God. The Trinitarians speak of three gods consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, mistranslated Holy Ghost in the King James Version. So, let's see who these are. First, let us define the words themselves. By definition, the Father must be the one who begot the Son, and the Son must be the one who was begotten. We have already seen that Jesus Christ is the Father as well as the Son. But now, what about the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Father who begot the Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, verse 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Again, Luke 1, verse 35 says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So, the Holy Spirit is the one who begot the Son, and therefore, by the very definition of the word, the Holy Spirit is the Father. And indeed, we know that God is Spirit, and the holiest of spirits. But let's find out some more about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verses 16, 17, 18, and 26, Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So note this. The Comforter, whom the Father will send, is the Holy Spirit. But who is it that will come as the Comforter? Jesus says, "I will come unto you." Therefore, Jesus, being God, being the Father, is also the Holy Spirit, which must be so, for we have seen that the Holy Spirit is the Father who begot the Son, and that Jesus Christ is the Father as well as the Son. So then, the Trinity of three gods boils down to just one God, a God who is Spirit, the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit, he begot a mortal body for his own use when he was to come as our Savior and Redeemer. And in thus begetting this body, the Holy Spirit became the Father. But he himself inhabited that body which the Holy Spirit had begotten, and in so doing he became the Son. In other words, one person acting in three capacities. After all, this is not too strange an idea even in our own lives. We are familiar with the fact that the same person who is John F. Kennedy is also the President of the United States. As President, he is also the highest civilian magistrate provided in our law. Also, as President, he is Commander-in-Chief of the armed forces of the nation. One person, the same person, is, at the same time, the President, the highest civilian officer of the government, and Commander-in-Chief of the armed forces. Similarly, we must recognize that just a single person, one God, is at the same time the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. Finally, what is his name? In nearly all of our English language translations of the Bible, we find it written J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Now we can be sure that this was not the name by which he was known when he lived among us in human form. Practically all of our English Bibles are translated from Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. But Greek was a foreign language to the people of Palestine, although some of the better educated among them spoke it in addition to their native language, which was Aramaic. So the Greek manuscripts are themselves translations of the original Aramaic, which was the language spoken by Christ and all his friends and disciples. In Greek, his name was written I-E-S-O-U-S and pronounced Jesus. That part of the Christian church, which was in the Western Roman Empire, where Latin was the official language of government, as well as the native tongue of most of those who lived in Italy, eventually translated the Bible into Latin. The translation made by Jerome around 400 A.D., becoming the official translation of the Roman Catholic Church. In Latin, the Savior's name is written either I-E-S-U-S or J-E-S-U-S and pronounced Jesus. When the first English translations were made, the long familiar spelling, J-E-S-U-S, was kept. This was not difficult because the letter J was, for many centuries, just another form of the letter I, as it still is in the Germanic and Scandinavian languages. Early English had inherited this from its beginnings as the Anglo-Saxon language. Not until much later did the letter J develop its modern English sound. As we saw in my series of talks entitled, Who is Your God?, the name of God in Hebrew is Yahweh, which also appears a number of times in the shortened form, Yah. In Hebrew, Hoshea means Savior. You are familiar with it as the name of a prophet who wrote one of the books of the Old Testament, although our English translations call it Hosea. Combining Yah, name of God, and Savior, there was formed the Hebrew name Yahushua, more familiar to us in the anglicized form of Joshua. There is every reason to believe that this was the name of our Savior. He did come in the name of a Father, Yah, the short form of Yahweh, with the further statement that Yah was Savior. So we note that Jesus himself said in John 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name. So also, when he entered the city of Jerusalem on his last visit there, which led to his crucifixion, the people greeted him with joyous enthusiasm, as recorded in Matthew 21, verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh! Hosanna in the highest! Some have said that Jesus is the Greek equivalent of Yehoshua, but this is not true. The Greek equivalent or translation of Yah, Savior, would be Yah Soter. In all cases where the translators took Hebrew or Aramaic names and tried to roughly transliterate them with Greek letters, they bungled the job very badly. There is not one Old Testament name which appears in the Greek New Testament in a form that's very similar to the original Hebrew. Jesus is an attempt to write Yahushua in Greek, botched as usual. To sum it all up, the Bible clearly proves that our Savior, Jesus Christ, was God himself who had taken human form in order to make the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. That he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the only God. That even his name in Hebrew or Aramaic proclaimed that he was Yahweh, God, the Savior. Remember that he told his disciples, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He will soon return to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, and then we too will be able to see the Father.
Okay, well, I am back. Well, I guess maybe I'm not as good at comprehending as I would like to think I am, because, well, I was taught that there was Yahweh the Father and, you know, Jesus or Yeshua the Son. So I sort of have problems understanding how Christ could, Christ could say, my Father, pretty well prayed to the Father when he is in a body here. So I tend to agree with Arius to where there was Yahweh the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. But I do have problems. Understand that. Of course, Bertrand Comperé, didn't. He said that Christ the Son was Yahweh the Father in a flesh body or made incarnate. But I don't know. I have problems. I have problems believing there is a oneness when you have one. When you have at the same time one referred to as the Father, another referred to as the Son. So that's that's my problem, I guess. Anyway, that belief is called Arianism. There was a fight between the Trinitarians, which became the Roman Catholic view because they outnumbered Bishop Arius, who, by the way, was the disciple who went to the Goths and the wandering Germanic people, and most of them, the Burgundians and the rest here were Arians, which meant they believed in God the Father and Christ the Son. So, which is sort of like what I believe in. But, the question is that, I have been raised to where within the Israel identity or Christian identity, if you want to call it that, community, the one who decides what is to be believed is usually the person who runs the one or the two or the three family congregations, which are the common structure of the church. The common structure of the church. Now, in the worldwide Church of God, you believe in Yahweh the Father and Christ the Son. And that is, I guess I've been raised in the worldwide Church of God, and so I have a tendency to believe the original British Israelite beliefs, absent, of course, the perversions by Herbert Armstrong, and a Jew like, named Hein. But because I have seen quite a few godly people, godly Israelite people, as opposed to the Identist ass clowns and Mamzers and Mongols and Jews, what I am able to get along and not run around and screaming that everybody is a heretic because they do not see things the way I do. It's a pity Bertrand Comperé is alive. I would probably say, how can you say that there is Christ the Son saying, my Father, why have you forsaken me? If he's Yahweh the Father in a fleshly body and therefore the Son, it seems to me like you're making a duopoly of what the Catholics make a Trinity. But, that said, and by the way, there was a mistranscription quite a bit, bit of the places here. But anyway, that's what I wanted was the basics here. Folks, if you want to believe that it's Yahweh the Father and Christ the Son who is the same spiritual being, I will probably not agree with you, but I can get along with you just fine. There's no purpose of deception. There's no trying to pull a fast one on you. I believe it's Yahweh the Father and Christ the Son. And Christ is our older brother. I believe that we are, those of us who are the Israelites, we have a bit of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And on this earth is up to us to choose right, and thus not corrupt our small little piece of Holy Spirit that's in us, that has to answer for what we do. But that's the problem here, is that Dewey Tucker, he simplifies things. He makes it quite simple. Me, some of the beliefs I have are complex, and sometimes they can be a bit contradictory. But unlike most of the creatures who run around, who I believe are idiots, like Keith Southworth, Russ Walker is definitely an idiot. I prefer to get along with those who are Israelites, those who know how to act. Because if I have a problem understanding something, and somebody else doesn't have a problem understanding it, see, because they're an idiot, or it might be that they're right, but they don't know how to explain it very well. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead, I don't know if there's any questions, I'm going to go ahead and say, folks, I'm not going to change what Comparé said, even though people may not agree with me. I really didn't expect Comparé to say that here. but he did. I guess I'm not as good a Comparean scholar as I think I am. Sometimes I get a bit surprised, like tonight. But I have heard, that Comparean view before. It's really not a big surprise to me. I'm not sure if I agree with it. Anyway, folks, the reason I don't agree with it is because I believe it's Yahweh the Father and Christ the Son, who is our older brother. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless you who be the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel. And good night.
God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Thy love divine has led us in the past, in this free land by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our rule, Lord, guardian, guide, and stay. Thy word, our law, thy paths, our chosen way. From war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. Thy true religion in our hearts increase. Thy bounteous good Just nourish us in peace. Refresh thy people on their toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. And glory, Lord, and praise be ever thine.
Call recording has been completed.